Good morning, everyone. We're back in the book of Mark, and Josh has just read the passage to us, and we're going to be looking at that in depth, well, hopefully in depth, scanning over it and looking and making some notes. One of the things that's really striking about Mark is that he wants us to know Jesus, who is in charge. Early on in Mark, he tells us, shows us, in a lot of different ways, that Jesus is God's king, that he's the one who rules. And we saw it last time when we looked at the disciples, and Jesus could command the wind and the waves to stop. And they recognize that this is no ordinary man. In fact, what Mark is indicating to us is only God can stop the waves and the water like Jesus did. So really, this is God. This is God's king. And last week we learned that in our circumstances, whether they're good circumstances or whether they're bad circumstances, we're being examined. How will we respond? How well will you and I apply faith in Jesus in our circumstances, whether they're good or bad? Do we live by faith, trusting in Jesus for whatever? Well, today we're going to study two people who express faith in Jesus very well. They do it the right way. And they're in the most hopeless of circumstances, at least humanly speaking. They're facing death. One is a father who knows that his 12-year-old child will die without Jesus' touch. That we see in verse 23 of the passage. Come, she's at the point of death, the father says. The other is a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. Now, I don't know the exact correlation here. I don't know what Mark's trying to say. But he makes a big thing about 12. And the girl's 12 years old, and the woman's been bleeding for 12 years. I still haven't figured that one out. I'll leave you with that question. You can consider it. But this woman is getting worse. So look at verse 25 and 26. She's getting to the end, and the bleeding hasn't stopped, and she's only getting worse, it says at the end of verse 26. They both approach Jesus out of desperation, which leads them to be humble, right? They recognize coming into this situation, if you're a humble person, it means you bring nothing to the table, and you are just arms open. Humbly approaching Jesus because they recognize they have nothing to contribute. They can do nothing except come to Jesus. Jairus falls at Jesus' feet. Now, Jairus, he's a synagogue ruler. He's an important person. He falls at Jesus' feet. And the woman thinks, if I just can touch his garments, I don't want a conversation with him. I don't feel like I'm, you know, important enough. But if I can just touch his garments, I'll be healed. And later, too, we see in verse 33 that she, too, falls at Jesus' feet. You see, these two people, they have nowhere else to turn for help. Jairus humbly comes to Jesus, unlike a lot of the Jewish leaders in Mark who are always testing Jesus and causing trouble and questioning. Jairus, he's not trying to test him. He just pleads, Jesus, please help. And the woman, she's exhausted all avenues. She's gone to doctors. And it says in verse 26, the doctors were no help. In fact, now she's broke. She has nothing left, no money. Her health has even grown worse. They're at the end of their rope when Jesus' touch delivers them from their hopeless and desperate circumstances. And he restores what's been lost. So just last week, we know faith in Jesus is the answer that we need to be giving to our circumstances. But this week, we're going to see even more that Jesus' touch restores what's been lost. Brings healing. He brings life. Before we go any further, let's go to him in prayer. Dear Jesus, help us to hear your word. Your touch we know is tender, and we know it's powerful. And we know that you are God's King. And we know that we bring nothing to the table. So, Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to grasp the truth of your word and express faith in you in every circumstance. Lord, help us to be built up in our faith as we study your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Mark's account of Jesus is really straightforward. The reader is taught to humbly believe in Jesus. Unbelief in this passage offers no help. Unbelief, skepticism, all these other things, they bring no help. Life is short. But Jesus can restore what's lost. Those are our three points. Unbelief brings no help. Life is short. But Jesus restores what's been lost. You see, we need to believe in Jesus. We need to be humble before Him. We bring nothing to the table. And unbelief brings no help. There are essentially two categories of people in this passage. Those who believe and those who don't. It's very simple. Mark is very straightforward about these things. Those who believe are in one category. Those who don't believe are in another category. And Mark does that throughout the whole book, actually. Jairus and the woman clearly believe, and they receive help. They humble themselves before Jesus. They believe that He is the only one that can help them, and they receive it. The crowd that's gathered around Jesus, so in verse 21, in verse 24, in verse 30 and 31, there's all these people that just gather around, crush in around Jesus. They seem to gather really out of just curiosity to see some great spectacle. What's going to happen next? What great thing is Jesus going to do? They aren't receiving healing and they aren't really doing anything, interacting with Jesus or asking questions or nothing. They're not really going to Jesus. They aren't expressing any kind of humility before Him. They just think He's a neat guy. Let's watch and see what Jesus does. They're not falling down at His feet or asking Him for help. They just want to see. They want to show. But they receive nothing from Jesus. Then there's those who mock Jesus. When He says about the little girl after she's died, "Don't worry, she's not dead, she's just asleep." Those people that laugh at Jesus in verse 39 of your passage, you can see it. He says she's just asleep, and what do? They laugh. They mock what Jesus has said. Well, look how He responds to them in verse 40. He puts them all outside. Those people that laughed at Jesus, those people that weren't humble, those people that weren't thinking that Jesus had anything to offer, He puts them outside. And He just brings the child's parents and three disciples. We're told Peter, James, and John in verse 37 are brought in. Verse 37 tells us that three disciples got to go in. Those are the same three disciples that later go with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And both times, after they see Jesus raise the dead and after they see Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, both times they're told not to tell this to anyone. Now we'll find out later in another sermon why that happens. But keep that in mind. He tells them twice, don't tell anyone about this, that I can raise the dead and that I'm glorified. Don't tell anyone. And they witness Him raising this girl from the dead. This little group see Jesus raise this little girl from the dead. You see, in our day, unbelief, being cynical, expressing doubt, that's looked upon as almost a virtue, isn't it? I mean, you're expected to question everything. You know, somebody's in charge and says something, well, what's the first thing we're going to do? What are they on about? You know, what are they really after? You know, cynicism, skepticism. Question it all. To humbly embrace the Bible's teaching about Jesus and to passionately live out what God says, well, that's viewed as just gullible, naive. It's just plain weird. to humbly admit that we have nothing, that we bring nothing to the table, and believe in Jesus, that's just plain weird in our day and age. You're supposed to be cynical and question and doubt. However, this passage clearly teaches us that only the humble, only those humbly expressing faith in Jesus receive help. All other responses, from just a general curiosity all the way to a deep cynicism and questioning, all of that do not receive any help from Jesus. Those who humbly express faith in Jesus receive help. In other words, the life of a believer, you and I, as people who trust in Christ, it is out of character to be negative in the sense of doubting God. It's out of line. And to be arrogant, to think that we could question everything that God does, is really sort of it's an out-of-line thing for a Christian. Now, we all have doubts, we all have questions, and I understand that, but do you understand that to trust God means that you're saying, God, I'm humbly at your feet. Do with me what you will. Do with me what you can. Rescue me. And that means we bring nothing to the table. We must be humble. In fact, that should be one of the main characteristics of a believer. We are humble people. We don't always have all the answers, but we know who to trust. You see, unbelief brings no help, so we humbly believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus, and life is short. This life is short. Faith is what this passage calls for. But it's not faith that suddenly things will get better, that, you know, it's going to improve. Don't worry, have faith, brother. You know, tomorrow will be a better day. The time heals all wounds, you know, that somehow if we just give it enough time, things will get better. Or that everything will work out in this life. Say that to brothers and sisters in other countries who are dying for their faith. It's not getting better in some of these closed countries. It's getting worse in this life. You see, time for the people in this passage is against them. Jairus' daughter is sick, and Jesus takes so long to get there that she actually dies. The woman's disease, we saw already in verse 26, is getting worse. Time is against them. Biblical faith is not optimism. Biblical faith is not optimism. Wishful thinking, like Annie, the sun will come out tomorrow. It's not to say that biblical faith can't be optimistic. After all, we have the greatest and the surest hope, right? The Word of God, the promise of God that says He will deliver. And God is always faithful to His promise, right? That's the Bible's message over and over and over again. Jesus rose from the dead. How many religions can say that about their leader? Death has been defeated by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns forever and ever. That's why we're going to celebrate Easter, aren't we? We're going to celebrate Easter in about 3 weeks. And we have a lot to celebrate. I say biblical faith is not optimism because this passage underscores humble faith in Jesus alone. In the face of impending death, running out of time in this life, only Jesus is the one who makes people well and who overcomes death. Let me just ask you a couple questions, just rhetorical ones, really. Who did the sick woman touch and talk with? It was Jesus, right? She didn't talk with anyone else. She didn't go to anyone else for help. In fact, everyone else she had gone to for help was no help. Who touched and talked with Jairus' daughter? Again, Jesus. No one else. Jairus couldn't go to anyone else for help. He went right to Jesus and asked for help. Was anyone else able to deliver these people from sickness and death? No. The doctors who treated the woman did one thing for her. They made her poor. People who gathered around Jesus' home, around Jairus' home after the little girl had died, all they could do in the face of death was cry for this dead little girl. No help. Or they even laughed at Jesus, who made light of death by calling it sleep. Now, this can leave us feeling a bit sad or morbid, but I want you to consider this. Maybe it's hard to face this fact, but all of us in here are running out of time in this life. All of us in here will face death. All of us, right? Now, it's hard to think about that. It's a little bit morbid, especially if you're young. You think, oh, that's for another day. That's for later. We might not have a life-threatening illness or a long-term degenerative condition, something that, you know, keeps eating away at our life. But we all know that our life on this earth will come to an end. We are like the people in this passage. Life is short. So let me ask you, are you humbly expressing faith in Jesus who overcomes death? Or do you just hope for the best? Maybe you're even afraid to contemplate your end, the end of your life on this earth, because it seems so grim. Maybe you're here this morning or listening by radio and you're like the mourners at Jairus' home who could only cry in the face of death. In that case, I invite you to obey the Bible, to humbly believe in Jesus, to do what Jairus and do what this woman did and fall at the king at his feet. The Bible teaches that unbelief brings you no help. We know that life is short. We will all face an end. So don't just hope that death will go away. This life is terminal. But Jesus has overcome death. So, we need to consider that this life is short. Believe in Jesus. We need to know that unbelief brings no help. So we need to believe in Jesus, be humble before Him, because He's the one who restores what's lost. It's not quite immediately clear in this passage, but Jesus also brings a wonderful restoration. Not just life, but He actually restores fullness of life to these people here. Here's how we know. This woman's bleeding kept her unclean for all the days that she bled. In Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, and I'm not going to turn there, but just note that if you want to look later. In Leviticus 15, it talks about women who bleed, and in the time of their bleeding, they're considered unclean. Now, that's in the regular monthly cycle, but also if there's a continued bleeding, all that time, they're considered unclean. So this woman, all the days of her bleeding, 12 years worth, she was considered unclean. It meant that the worship at the temple, she could not go to the temple to worship because she was unclean. And if she was married, she couldn't have any relations with her husband, it was not possible. She was unclean. Everything she sat on, everything she laid on, became unclean. Even those she touched would be considered unclean because of her bleeding. This woman's disease then, in other words, cut her off from very precious relationships. Relationships where she could go to the temple and worship God, and relationships within her own family. Because she was unclean. And similarly with Jairus and his wife, who came into the room where their daughter had died, Leviticus 22 and Numbers 19 tell us that getting close to a dead body, touching a dead body, makes you unclean. Now, the law is not restricting people from going and, you know, embracing a dead loved one and holding them, especially your daughter. I mean, you can imagine you just want to hold them. But it's just saying that you can't approach God right away afterwards. You have to go through a purification, a cleansing ceremony, so that you can go to God. So they would be unclean if they went to God after having touched their daughter's body. So like the woman, these parents could have been cut off from their very precious relationship with God temporarily, but also, obviously, from a relationship with their daughter. Now you start to get a sense of what happens when Jesus touches your life. The woman, whose bleeding could make furniture unclean, doesn't make Jesus unclean. You see the power that Jesus has? He's not made unclean. Instead, he stops her bleeding and makes her clean. If you look with me at verse 34, look what he says in verse 34. This is key. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. The idea of a Jewish mind, peace, meant wholeness. You are right with God. Because I have touched you, or you have come to me in faith. Go in faith. Faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Your uncleanness is removed. Her faith in Jesus made her well. And she can go in peace. Relationships are right in her life. Her disease is gone. Again, Jairus and his wife no longer have a dead daughter. She's alive because Jesus has raised her from the dead. Verse 39, death is only sleep to Jesus. He made her alive. You don't get that result every day, do you? Jesus can do that. Instead, Jesus brings her back to life and is an example of wholeness. Look at what happens. She walks around and gets fed. It tells us in verse 43. She walks around and gets fed. Now, you know, if you've been sick for a long period of time, getting up right away, you know, you kind of, after you've been laying down for a while, and eating is probably one of the last things you want to do. But here, right away, to show wholeness, she's getting up and walking around. Immediately, it says in verse 42. Immediately she gets up. Are you at the end of your rope? Do you realize that you're in a position where you have nothing to give? You have nothing to offer, nothing to bring to the table. Can I tell you, Jesus' touch delivers from hopelessness and desperate circumstances, and He can restore what's been lost. Faith in Jesus is the answer to whatever you're facing in life. Whatever desperate circumstances you might be in, trust, look to Jesus. His touch can restore fullness to life. He can make you whole. More importantly than all of this, He can give you peace with God. And death would be nothing anymore, nothing to fear. Mark's account of Jesus is very straightforward. The reader is taught to humbly believe in Jesus. Unbelief brings no help. This life is short. We are all facing our end. But Jesus can restore what's lost, give us victory over death. And He can give us, He alone gives us peace with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank You for rescuing us. We are in desperate circumstances, Lord. We know that this life is short, but we know that You alone rescue. This is what Your Word teaches, and we trust Your Word. Please touch our lives today so that we can know Your peace and be made whole. Lord, give us Your life so that we do not need to fear death anymore. For Your kingdom and for the growth of Your kingdom and for Your glory, we ask. Amen. I invite the musicians and singers to come forward. We're going to sing a song, actually a song that's been around quite a long time. All to Jesus I Surrender. I hope, if you don't know Jesus, that this would be your prayer this morning. All to Jesus You Surrender. We surrender. Let's stand and sing together.
All to Jesus.